we are back in Joey's kitchen as we are now showing you exactly how to prepare the iron-rich Mediterranean bowl.
Hello and welcome. Right now I have a bowl with ground beef. I put some breadcrumbs in it. I'm gonna add one egg with my onions, peppers, and I also added a little celery for flavor. And in here, in the mortar, I crushed garlic with oregano and cumin and turmeric that I added to that with white distilled vinegar with my olive oil in there, which I will mix into the meat and make my little meatballs, which will go in here. And then in this pot here, I will prepare quinoa. And on the side, I will cut up my tomatoes, prepare, saute the spinach, and then add everything into the bowl so that you can see how nicely it will look.
Okay, so what is the whole point of the iron-rich ingredients that you want to mix together?
This is to build iron within the system because Mr. Harrison, unfortunately, has low iron. So this is to boost up his iron within his body.
So the meat here is the hemolytic iron, the heme iron, and this will be the non-heme iron. Especially with spinach, where they say that hopefully with these ingredients that you're adding, it's creating a desire, maybe even for seconds or thirds, right?
Maybe.
Okay. Also, being that we are showing this on a special episode with Siobhan Loris, when we had done a show on this almond-encrusted salmon, there is a difference in this conversation because we're also looking at the spirituality in healthcare. What is your definition of spirituality in the way you're preparing the foods given your patients' needs? I'm not letting him answer that question because now I will officially introduce this episode of Frank About Health where you and I together we'll discuss the answer to that question. And for everyone out there, I hope you're hungry because this show ends after it's dinner time for most people, 6 o'clock Eastern. And we will show you the final product that he prepared and his spiritual explanation. But we are here today with my special guest and fellow talkradio.nyc hostess, Siobhan Loris from the Expansion Room. She had been on Frank About Health. Now she has her series. We were on there, as you heard us refer to the almond-encrusted salmon. And we're also here to discuss a lot of what you would have been discussing with Linda Marsonico on the A-Train to Sedona. So this episode is special in many ways. We're celebrating family, talkradio.nyc family, as well as really getting into the understanding how spirituality plays a very cohesive role in healthcare. Now, I will issue my disclaimer. Whatever your religious beliefs are or whatever your healthcare beliefs are, they are not the views of the Expansion Room, Frank About Health, or talkradio.nyc. Therefore, I hope you take it as food for thought, learn a lot, and eat a lot. And welcome back, Siobhan.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that introduction.
My pleasure. So that being said, why don't you first tell me what you and Linda were going to talk about with spirituality and healthcare?
Yeah, so we were going to discuss, both of us being in the mental health space. She's a psychologist. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor. And so we were going to talk about the fact that in the mental health space, especially in our training, that spirituality was not often included. Now, my training is a little bit different than hers. As psychologists, I know that they are trained not to include spirituality at all. My degree was from Loyola's pastoral counseling program. So we did have the space to invite in spirituality. It was during that time in 2001, early 2000s, mindfulness had already started to be part of the conversation in some places in mental health. But as the 20 plus years, 22 plus years have rolled on for me, I have thought about and learned new ways to incorporate the conversation of spirituality with clients. Because really, I was actually talking to a future guest who's coming up on my show, and we were talking about mental health and spirituality, and he said, mental health is spirituality and spirituality is mental health, just like summed it up perfectly. And right. It really is that. We cannot afford any longer to offer people psychotherapy, any kind of mental health therapy, and not offer the space for there to be spiritual exploration.
Right.
We really can't. I leave it broad like that because, you know, for some people that's religion based.
Correct.
For some people that's just spiritual based. And for others, and I know a bunch of people like this who identify as atheist, right? So
right.
Don't believe that there's a God, but also identify as spiritual.
Yeah, I gather my perception. I don't know many people who are atheists. I knew one person in my life, and that was 30 years ago.
Okay. But
when I did know that person, again, 30 years ago, we were teenagers or whatever our age group was at that point, I would say the individual was just believing in himself internally, intuition, whatever was vibing him. That is how I think he labeled spirituality, rather than I believe the universe is overseeing what's going on, you know?
Yep.
It's very interesting because it's almost like our society today with people's views. Mm-hmm. And how they are either used extreme to one side or extreme to the other, as they would say in mental health circles, narcissistically or masochistically. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, I don't know about you, but I call it disruption, but I call it chaos also. And it does affect me with my emotional well-being, sometimes my physical well-being, and of course, just overall mental health. So I have a firmer belief now more than ever that there needs to be a spiritual component when dealing with mental health.
Right.
You know, yeah, whether it's with your therapist or your pastor or both.
Right.
You know,
I believe they're definitely, especially as things are right now. I think part of the issue, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I think the lack of connection to spirit, right? That lack of connection to self, small s, as well as self, big s.
Yes.
Is part of the issue with how people are relating to one another.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I was also having this conversation with Joey that technology, which is convenience for all of us, especially artificial intelligence or whatever,
exactly.
seems to be taking us away from connecting.
In some ways, yeah.
So, I mean, people could say, whether it's, you know, on memes or even making things go viral, that technology is creating a dopamine release and people are becoming more self-absorbed and stuff like that. But how much would you say that technology is actually impacting a connection with your soul?
I think it does in the sense of distraction. So for instance, I was talking to a client recently And I asked them, well, what is your morning routine when you first wake up? Because they were talking about kind of that depression and anxiety started for them early in the day. And
Right.
so I wanted to get an understanding as to where their thoughts were when they first woke up. And so when they first wake up, they said they pick up their phone and before they get out of bed, they start scrolling. And I was
That's
like,
true.
that is an issue. Why would you start your day that way with anxiety, right? You're scrolling, so you're automatically into the news cycle. You're automatically into social media, and your feet have not touched the floor yet. And
Wow,
so,
we
how about starting your day with, and then, we talked about not picking up the phone to start scrolling, but to actually get up, get water, maybe get a cup of coffee, start moving around your space and setting for yourself an intention for your day,
right,
right? To
right.
set your mindset to
Yes.
move forward into your day. And also, they also said they end their day with scrolling just before bedtime, just before turning off the light. And so I was like, so you're ending your day in high anxiety and you're waking up to high anxiety. So how about not picking up the phone in the morning, first thing, allow yourself to set an intention for your day, right? To even check in with your thoughts, to make your first thoughts more positive
Yes.
in your day.
Yes.
And then move into the day slowly. And to in the evenings, to instead of doom scrolling, that's what most of the young people seem to call it, doom scrolling, on social media, that last hour be something where you're either journaling or watching something that's more uplifting or doing some mindfulness practice before you go to bed, so that your mind is not gnawing on negativity. I made a mistake recently myself, because I tend to not doom scroll at night, and I'm usually watching some sort of either spiritual or uplifting kind of thing on YouTube. But I came across, oh, an article, one of my favorite music artists died recently, and in March, another favorite music artist of mine had passed, and I had missed it somehow, because I don't
Who
really
were
watch.
they?
D'Angelo died last week.
Yes, I heard about that.
And his ex, oh, my brain just did a perimenopause brain fart. His girlfriend from way back in the day, they had had a child together, and she, Angie Stone, she had died
Yes,
in
car
March
accident.
in a car accident.
Yep.
And I pulled up the article and it literally, it was just before bed and read the article and my heart just did this thing. And I was like, oh, I should have saved this for tomorrow in the middle of my day because now it's going to be in my sleep pattern, right? It's going to be the last thing I thought of. And, I try not to do those kinds of things,
Yes.
right? Just
Yes.
before bed or upon waking.
Wow, when I was in the music industry, I remember when Angie Stone got signed to Clive's J Records, which is back around the time of 2000, 1999, something like
Yeah, it was
that.
in the late 90s.
Yeah, she was the second artist after Alicia Keys. And so I remember when I was invited over to the label so that I can meet get their samples, and I met Alicia Keys, but I did not meet Angie Stone. And yet, I remember when I was doing the promotional work for those albums at the record club that Sony owned, Columbia House. We were trying to offer, particularly with Clive's label, those titles on Street Date, which was not done at the record club. And I just remember how the vibe was going on with these new up and coming R&B artists, and the way that I guess probably Clive was trying to find a new Whitney or whatever the story may have been. But when I heard of Angie Stone's death, the way I identified with it was from the industry, like, wow, a loss of a talent. But it does kind of go back into my, and we're about to take our first break, but it kind of goes back into my question that technology has basically interfered with the one source that we always need to be connected to, which is our soul.
That's it.
And that
It has
fragmentation, I
escaped.
guess, is the constant.
It's the perfect word, fragmentation.
Yes.
It's the perfect way to describe it. So we are so connected. We're more connected to one another than ever before in our human history, at least this iteration of our human history. But it's also disconnecting because people, I see it when I go walking in the morning, right? I usually have on music, but I don't often have my phone in my hand. So I will walk past some people and they're walking and they're paying attention to their phone, or they're walking their dog and they never look up from their phone ever. It's so strange to me. Or when I go to, like, I did an episode with my chiropractor last week, and he has traction tables in his office that once you get adjusted, you lay down on the traction table, and it just allows your body to take what the adjustment, was supposed to be. I just lay there and allow the machine to just do this traction thing on my back. I love it.
Yes.
Everyone else is sitting on the table with their phones and they're looking at their phones. I'm like, you just have to lay down for 5 minutes. You can't like lay down for 5 minutes without being like, I just don't understand.
Well, I totally understand your momentum, and right now I'm looking at the text from our engineer that we definitely got her hungry because she has left to go grab food. The gods have dinner cooking, and yet I think we're 2 minutes past break. So
We're time to take a break.
yeah, time to take a break. So everybody, please stay tuned while we can take this fragmentation and integrate it together. We'll be back in a few.
Perfect.
Just a creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, and welcome back. Both myself and Siobhan were going off on our own discussion about how spirituality and the soul are definitely interconnected. This is a healthcare show, so I want to spend the next segment kind of bringing together the fact that technology, among other issues that are going on in our society right now, is keeping us all fragmented from reaching that source of strength that we all need every day. That being said, two things I want to find out in this segment from you, Siobhan, is that, as you know, Linda is on the road to love and compassion. Love and compassion is part of when you have integrated with your soul. So is there anything you were going to say on her show that you can share here that goes in line with how your practice tries to bring all of that together?
Yeah, so love and compassion is at the heart of my desire to look at mental health as something that has to shift. has to be able to create a new paradigm. So mental health, like the medical model, is fragmented, we'll use the same word, in the sense that they look at symptoms.
Yes.
And they treat based on symptoms. Never is there a question about root cause. Why is this happening? Why do these symptoms even manifest? Now, some doctors are getting better. We have the segment of the medical system that is integrative health or integrative medical care, right?
Correct.
And so that is wonderful. And that's starting to expand. We're starting to see more of that.
Yes.
But in the mental health model, it's still about you going to the psychiatrist, or sometimes it's just your medical doctor and saying, hey, doc, I have these symptoms. And then them writing you a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some will then say, you should see a therapist, and they'll refer them to a therapist. But that's kind of it. Like, even with psychotherapy, we were trained based also on symptoms, but we at least can, through talk therapy, help them to get to the root cause of what might be ailing them, right?
Correct.
But it's
Correct.
Not always from a spiritual side, right? It's not always where people go. Like if you're doing cognitive behavioral therapy, doesn't always include the spirituality piece. If
Correct.
You're incorporating mindfulness practices, then yes, it will, right?
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What were you going to say?
So the shift has to be that we incorporate these traditional theories with more of the spirituality that we see coming out in really the spiritual inquisitiveness, right? Asking people, what are their practices of self-care? Asking, how do you take care of yourself, right? So the for me, spirituality is the act of seeing yourself as worthy of care. I see so many clients who treat the other people in their lives better than they treat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They run themselves into the ground. They don't put themselves at the top of their own list.
Correct.
My favorite thing in getting on a plane, and you know, airlines have made travel so much harder than it used to be. But one
especially
of my favorite
the government
things,
shutdown.
But my favorite thing is when they say the mask that drops down if there's low cabin air pressure, put your mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
Then help the person next to you.
Yeah, that what I was going to say based on what you just ended your whole concept on is that I guess generationally, I would call it in this case generational trauma, we are all taught how not to think of ourselves first.
That's right.
Which is why we become dysregulated, which
That's
is
right.
why we become triggered, which is why we're exposed to trauma at a higher frequency.
Exactly. And the notion of always putting everyone else first builds resentment for a lot of people. But it is not resentment that they speak about. Oftentimes that resentment is held in and pretty much turned on themselves, right?
Through depression.
Yep, through depression,
mm-hmm.
through anxiety, through the adding to the trauma that they've already experienced in their lives.
Right.
We don't realize, and I say we, I mean, we as a people on this planet, not enough of us realize that our thoughts are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They are just at the beginning in these last, I would say, decade of looking at how our thoughts and our beliefs that we kind of have floating around in our minds cause physical health problems.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Our bodies don't know if we're experiencing stress from our environment or from the thoughts in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Are we reliving some traumatic experience we had in our families or that we experienced at work? Or are we beating ourselves up and calling ourselves names that we would never use with a friend or a child, right? Are we holding on to negative patterns of thinking? All of those then change your gene expression. Yeah. All of those things affect your DNA. All of those things affect you at a cellular level. Yep. But we do it all the time. And then we wonder why autoimmune issues are on the rise.
And then, I mean, even if I hate using the word political system because I don't want anyone to think that I'm talking out of line. But what we've seen in the last year alone is a reflection of our eroding mental health. That's my view. I mean, what? Why else would you vote for something that already shown you what that individual was made of?
Yeah.
You know, or better yet, not vote at all. Why would you do that? You want to sit on the back of the railroad? You know, I mean, again, I'm not trying to refer to anything from the civil rights movement, but I'm saying that what would you just want to sit at the back of the train and watch everything act like a roller coaster and you're sitting there like not even seatbelted? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what it appears to be going on right now. And that's why I've dedicated Frank About Health to be focused on if you see disruption, what are you going to do about it? I guess that's also a way I consider you a member of my Voices of Disruption team, because you're using a practice of your own that is incorporating all of these external elements that are not normally thought of to try to create a more holistic view.
Right.
And I gather that's what you were going to share with Linda on the A-Train.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. We've got to start to, and it starts with us, right? I would say 22 years ago, when I was just becoming a therapist, I did not have this same mindset. It has evolved over time. A lot of the work that I've done on myself as a human being, I realized, oh, this is going to be even more beneficial to the people that I work with, right? As a yoga therapist and a psychedelic therapist, I can see where pairing that with talk therapy or psychotherapy, it could be a benefit to help move someone along a little bit faster.
Yes.
In their healing and in their growth and in their expansion. So yeah, it's we have to make that shift.
Yes.
And that's the only way I think we're going to see the society as a whole heal. And I'm starting to see it in pockets, right? There are therapists like me who are shifting to a more holistic model. There are doctors who are shifting to a more holistic model. So many doctors I'm hearing are getting out of the medical field and doing something else because they're finding that this is not it, the way the medical industry has changed.
True.
Yeah.
We're about to take our second break, but I just wanted to say, and to Jesse out there, that recipe that we showed you at the beginning, make sure you take seconds and thirds, because that is exactly how you're going to improve on your iron deficiency issues, if you have any. And that being said, I want to hear more about the psychedelic practice you have, because that in itself is reaching in parts of the brain that probably people are not activating when they are not using those special techniques. I know there's been a lot of legal reform in allowing things like cannabis, but I think it could also explain some of the spiritual reach that we all really are seeking. But with your psychedelic treatment, I'm sure you're helping people get there faster. So that would be, I guess, the special segment 3 that's coming up. All right. That all being said, everybody, please stay tuned right here on Frank About Health on talkradio.nyc and our social media of YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitch. If you have any questions, feel free to ask live. We will be here to answer them. Otherwise, we'll see you in a few.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and a space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. And now, Shravan, I was just thinking during the commercial break, we had talked about two other artists in the first segment. I don't know if you had a chance to see about another artist that everyone knows named Madonna. She was just discussing her Kabbalah practice and explaining that the reason why she's had a longevity in her career, 40 plus years, is stemming from her belief system and keeping her spirituality grounded. Now, I kind of always knew that. I am obviously a fan of her and her work and her career, especially when it was in the music industry. It was very inspiring to watch her marketing in action. But the spiritual side, I just made the correlation that people who are spiritual are still here after 40, 50, 60 years. Most people don't see it that way. They just think, oh, well, probably their sales were not as high, the label dropped them, or whatever, or God forbid, they died. But how would you equate that? And then segue over into your psychedelic practice to explain how you're helping people reach their spiritual side.
Yeah, I think when people have longevity in, say, the music industry or some sort of creative industry that is public facing, right? But it can also be somewhere that we don't know who they are, but they have a long career. Grounding in spirituality is so key because you can be swept away by so many things. For people who are famous, it could be drugs, you know, or alcohol that just kind of sweeps them away. So it allows for a level of grounding as they continue to, of course, expand into who they are. Right. I think the other piece of spirituality in reference to one's career is this turning inward on a regular basis also allows you to get guidance about next steps, right?
Right.
Stepping forward because you've checked in or tuned into your inner voice or your intuition, or some people use the word God or the universe, but it's an inner experience. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of outfacing, you know, interactions in our lives, but we don't often, most people don't take as much or an equal balance of turning inward, turning towards their soul, turning right. towards the self, right?
Right.
Our central nervous systems is supposed to be pretty balanced. Matter of fact, our lives should be more spent in parasympathetic nervous system, rest, relaxed, I like to throw in restore, and digest.
Yes.
But for the most part, we live in sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, or freeze. That is the daily life of modern day Westerners.
So then when you look at the triad of deaths that occurred in the mid-2015 timeframe, about 2012, Whitney Houston, Prince, George Michael, even David Bowie, I think he had cancer, but those three artists in particular, in their 48 was Whitney all the way to 55, yeah. which I to think 50, was George yeah. Michael. It was, well, Michael Jackson, that's another example.
Yeah. I mean,
they were drug related.
Yes.
because
Amy
it looks
Winehouse,
as
the... same. She was younger,
exactly.
But Amy Winehouse, yeah.
But all of these artists had a drug-related death.
Yeah.
Because it appears to me, as I'm continuing to look inward, not inward to my own life, but inward into how you achieve such massive success and couldn't handle it. I gather they were not in touch with their spirit.
I don't know, because I did not know them, of course, personally.
Right.
But they had not evolved to the point where they used their spirituality to ground them.
Right.
Right. There are many people, like I would venture to say every person on this planet has some addiction. As a person who has worked in drug treatment before I opened my own practice, I would venture to say everybody's got something. I mean, let's go down to the basics of what we have in our kitchen. Let's start with sugar and coffee. Yeah. So I can't say that just because they had illicit drug use that they were not in touch with their spirit, but maybe they hadn't gotten to the place where they didn't find solace in some way in that kind of drug use. Now, right. Some people would say that therapists who are moving into the spaces of psychedelics are inviting people into illicit drug use. There are definitely therapists out there that believe that. And I would disagree. Plant medicine has been around for time immemorial, like millennia.
Yes.
Indigenous cultures around the world, including Western cultures, people always want to use this term indigenous cultures to mean black and brown people. But when we go back far enough into westernized, what we consider westernized cultures, they also had indigenous peoples in those areas who we would call white, who were also engaging in plant medicine. So let's be clear. Plant medicine was used all over the planet before a certain time, before colonialism. And nearly every major culture had some sort of substance that they used that we would now label as a psychedelic. And they used them for healing. They used them for spiritual and mind expansion and to connect as a community. And so we have to get out of this idea that we're now taking what has been an illicit drug and trying to make it therapeutic. No, folks took a drug, they took a substance that was therapeutic and made it an illicit drug. So let's really look at the cycle here. And these substances, whether they are plants or whether they are mushrooms, they all have their varying and different effects, but there's a spirit in each of those plants that works well with the body and with the mind to bring about healing, right? By looking at the psyche, by looking at what ails us and helping us to go, oh, this is what's going on for me. And coming out of that experience, doing integration and figuring out what do I need to let go of in my life or change in my life? And then what do I need to welcome in? What do I need to bring in to shift my life in the direction that I want it to go?
Correct. Correct.
And so my work with people in reference to like psychedelic harm reduction and integration, my work with psychedelic cannabis, it's really about helping people to set an intention. They know something's going on for them that they want to shift or change. So setting an intention, that's the beginning of the work. Knowing what it is that your end goal you need it to be. And then going into that experience, letting the medicine take them where they need to go. And then on the back end, doing the integration work to make the shifts and changes in their lives that would be most beneficial for them.
It's almost like in the case of my father, where he is a recovering cancer patient taking his medication, which has side effects.
Mm-hmm.
We open the show showing an iron-rich Mediterranean bowl, which is managing his side effect of iron deficiency, which has given him anemia. One can say it's because of the medication, or probably because of the loss of weight, or probably the dehydration that continues. But the irony is he's okay with his cancer. It's contained, especially at his age. But the side effects are debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the confusion is stemming from not having the inner information, like you just outlined, about how drugs that already had healing properties were deemed illicit.
Mm-hmm.
And now medication, which are deemed healing properties, have side effects. What do we do with them? You use food.
Yeah.
Food is the substitute. You know, so that's the secret, really. But what I'm trying to get at is that, would you say that a lot of people are just misreading the signals and keeping the fragmentation because they're believing in the labels more so than the facts of the healing properties?
Yeah, the labels on the psychedelics, you mean, that they've put?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I think there has been so much propaganda around plant medicines, and people they did a really good job. A lot of people still believe it. A lot of people are coming around slowly but surely. I mean, the Michael Pollan's book helped. Some other MAPS has done a great job with the research and getting the word out. We're looking at the kinds of research that help veterans. I mean, there's so much now that people, even when I was traveling in Italy, I'm sitting in a restaurant with my partner and I'm listening to these Italian ladies talk, and you know, my Italian is not that great yet, but I'm learning, but I know the word psychedelic when I hear it. And they were clearly talking about doing psychedelics.
For me, it would be gelato. I'm joking.
No, and they were not like young, like young 20-something, like women. Like they didn't even sound like they were talking party. They literally sound like they were talking about the therapeutic effects of psychedelics. And so I was like, all right, this is getting around.
What's the main reason for keeping those labels strong in people's minds? Is it simply about money, or is it something else?
I think part of it is money. The pharmaceutical industry is not going to die an easy death. Trust. But the other piece too is, think about it. If you were a government and you were an authoritarian government, would you want the people that you oversee to wake up consciously to who they are?
No, because then you couldn't control them.
Right. Take their own health, mental health, well-being, careers into their own hands. Would you really want that?
It's a crying shame on different levels, depending on which country you're in. But it's kind of alarming what we're seeing here. So
yeah,
I guess that would be just another show.
It would be. But yeah. that is really it. The powers that be don't really want an entire country that wakes up.
Incredible. All I can say is that at least on Frank About Health and in our country of talkradio.nyc, as well as on the Expansion Room, we want our audience and viewers to wake up to two key elements. Psychedelics work under proper guidance, and nutrition is key.
Very much so.
You can reach access to your soul and become more integrated going forward. All right. I think that's my little commercial break disclaimer or statement before we transition to the next segment. So everybody, please stay tuned as we close out the show and show everybody what Joey came up with in his kitchen. All right. Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll be back. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health caregiving and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. In this episode, we had a chance to really explore spirituality's impact on our mental health. Also, as she mentioned earlier in segment, I think it was two, it affects our physical health, especially when the body doesn't know if it's from the external environment or from your thoughts. The bottom line is that in order, as I've said on every episode of Frank About Health, in order for you to have homeostasis, reach your body, mind, and spirit, and ultimately your soul, you have to own your health care. You can get the information or propaganda, and you can also take a look at what your doctor says. But at the end of the day, nobody has any decision-making power over what you should or shouldn't do except yourself. So that means one thing I want to spend this final segment on is how you simply own your kitchen. Just own the food that you buy every week. And of course, prices are going up and we know why. But figure out what is nutritious. Even what can you cheat on? But more importantly, drink lots of water and just understand that any of the recipes that Joey has shown on Frank About Health or the Expansion Room were for your health care. And it's a guide for all of you to take on those recipes yourself. With the support of AI, with the support of good menus or programs or diets or whatever you're dealing with, but at the same time, to just know that when you're taking in even good foods, you're still giving yourself that high for your body. You know, and I do believe also in psychedelics. I did try cannabis. It made me gain so much weight, I decided not to do it anymore.
Did it give you the munchies?
That's exactly why I gained so much weight. But especially during COVID when we had nowhere to go around the room. But no, the other aspect was, is that I did see it was for epilepsy. And I did see that I was on two pills prior to that. I now only have the one remaining pill that I still need to take. Okay. So it did have an impact. I haven't had a full blown grand mal seizure since 2005.
Wonderful.
So I would say the cannabis did work for me. But when I'm now having a potential comorbidity of pre-diabetes or whatever else was happening, I was like, it's not really for me.
That is totally fair.
Exactly.
You know, psychedelics in general are not for everyone.
Exactly.
Right? There are other ways to heal with like breath work, holotropic breath work, pairing yoga therapy with mental health therapy. Like there are so many ways to get there, but it goes back to what you said. You have a choice to take your health into your own hands.
That being said though, do you think a lot of people don't make the choice again because they're not in touch with their spirit or their
soul? I think that people have been lulled into the belief that their white coat doctors give them all the answers.
Right. I unfortunately must admit, I've heard my mother say, I need to obey my doctor. And I go, no, you don't.
No.
I have had many fights with my doctor, especially with all the research I've done. If they say something that sounds out of left field, I say, okay, you're not the doctor for me. Thanks for your time.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
But before we actually sign off for the evening, you know Joey has been on both Frank About Health as well as on your show. We had that almond encrusted salmon recipe. Did you ever have a chance to explore it?
We did. We did indeed. And it was good.
All right. So did you follow the recipe guidelines that he presented on the show, or was it your own way with your own ingredients?
I think we did like most of it. I think we probably changed one thing, but I don't remember what that one thing was.
It's okay. That's all right. If anything, he definitely served as a guide. And when we close out the show, I'm going to show everybody the recipe that we started in the beginning of the show, because he then describes how this has been his mode of connecting spiritually with God, as well as with his own desire to do his own form of caregiving, which is coming from a spiritual perspective. And he's also a very good cook, you know. So that being said, I think what I'm hoping to do, maybe the two of us together, is we can feature him more often, especially in topics that the food fits the issue being discussed.
Right.
So that's something we can figure out going forward. But I would have to say, what was your takeaway from his approach? Did you see a fit between the way you look at your practice in terms of the holistic view? And if you did, could you give more of a description that maybe people can understand more when they see him making those recipes?
I think for me, it's the connection to food and what I talk about with my clients, that their care starts with their food, really, because food affects mental health.
Mm-hmm.
At the basic level, food affects mental health. And so the way he was talking about how the ingredients have certain qualities and vitamins, minerals, and nutrients, and what they affect in the body and in the brain was very key. Because, yeah, if you go into a grocery store and you shop the perimeter, right, you're getting nutrition-dense foods.
Yes.
And it's when we go to the high-processed foods that come in boxes and packages that
Made
we
in America.
Start to go, yeah, exactly, that starts to go astray. Now, I am not saying we cannot partake at all in those things, but they can't be the majority of our diet.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. You know? And I think if anything, it's like, not only is the person making the food realizing that the ingredients are for their health, spiritual, mental, whatever, but it's the act of creating the food that probably gives a dopamine rush.
I mean,
like we talked about music artists. So obviously they love to sing. So some people just love to cook. So what would you say about people who are chefs or cooks and they know they're doing it for health purposes, but are really driven by that goal of obtaining the same kind of pleasure that anyone who's doing caregiving? What would you say about that type of mindset?
Yeah, that's giving in love. That's doing it in love. Like you do, I have a t-shirt that I love to wear in the summertime. It says, do all things in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we cook, you know, we all have the experience of going to our grandma's or our nonas and having a meal, because you know, grandma cooked in love. It tastes different than just going to a restaurant. So it's the infusing with the love and compassion. If we always start from there, we are stepping always into our spirituality.
That was a perfect way to answer that question, because in that one sentence, not only did you cover your practice and Joey's practice, but you also paid tribute to Linda and her intention with the 40 episodes that she did with the A-Train to Sedona. And I know she's got to come back at when she's ready, but we'll be there waiting for her.
Absolutely.
Like the family we become, right?
Exactly.
Well, exactly. We're about to show that final recipe and sign off. I want to thank you again, Siobhan, for being here again on Frank About Health. At the same time, I want to tell everybody that next week's guest on Frank About Health is Deepak Sahni, who wants to be a centenarian. He was also referred by Linda Marsonico, and nutrition does play in that. You will see
that the recipe, indeed,
especially with lots of spinach and lots of greens, healthy greens, will keep you living longer. We will let the final segment, which is Joey with the final recipe and his comment on spirituality, end the show. Jesse, just let it ride, and then we will sign off. Thank you, everybody, for watching this episode, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you.
Let me just share the screen, and we will sign off. Everybody, as we end this episode of Frank About Health, we not only covered what I promised last week, the iron-rich Mediterranean bowl, but Siobhan and I discussed throughout the episode about spirituality and healthcare, and I'm closing this episode out with not only the finished product, but also Joey's final spiritual statement on what brings him to make such meals.
Well, to answer your prior question, when I cook, I'm not cooking or making a meal just for anyone. I'm making a meal channeling peace, love, and healing into every ingredient that I use in a way that connects me to God, turning nourishment into prayer and caregiving into a sacred act.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only have I been motivated for those same intentions, especially on every episode of Frank About Health, but I've now been motivated to have this very meal. I hope you do the same, because it's at the top of the hour and dinner time. See you all next week right here on talkradio.nyc. Good night.